Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The Suffolk County Sheriff's Department will no longer hold detainees for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Suffolk County Sheriff Stephen Tompkins announced he was ending his department's contract with ICE last night. And Sheriff Tompkins is here today with us in Studio 3 to tell us why. Sheriff Tompkins, welcome back to Radio Boston.
I love coming here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. So why'd you do it? What motivated you to end the contract?
Here are a couple of things. First of all, the Framingham facility that houses women is going to be shut down for some renovations and do some things there. And so the state is going to move those ladies out anyway. And I believe the governor is going to move 200 or 300 to another state facility. And what I said was, look, the women from Essex, Plymouth, and Norfolk are more than welcome to come to our facility. And so we decided that we would do that for one reason, because that facility is being closed. But actually, if I'm honest with you, I don't have jurisdiction over the ICE detainees, but I do have some jurisdiction over the people that are going to be remanded to our care. And so with that said, men are with us for 12 to 14 months, ladies about 9 months. I can take that 9-month period with the ladies and really try to help them get back up on their feet. You know, and a lot of our ladies suffer from domestic violence, sexual exploitation, substance abuse, mental health issues. I have the resources and the staff that are really good at helping, you know. And so we do gender-specific programming, and I wanted to utilize our resources in that manner.
So what would you say to a listener who might be thinking, I'm not comfortable with the idea that a house of corrections is the place to address mental health, addiction, domestic violence? Why is this a good idea? Why is the House of Corrections a place?
I would start by saying I'm not comfortable with it either. That said, because of the scarcity of mental health beds and substance abuse beds and diversionary programs, we have become the de facto mental health, substance abuse, and in some cases, education facility. So my thing is, when people come to us, how do you want them to go home? In the same situation when they showed up? Or better. And our contention is that they should go back home in a better situation. So we're going to work mightily to do that. You know, my mandate is care, custody, and control. This falls under the heading of care.
Can you explain the numbers a little bit, both in terms of how many ICE detainees will not be there anymore and how many women you have, how many women you'll be expecting?
We presently have somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 to 80 women. We're going to be expecting about 200 to 250 ladies coming in, which actually starts tomorrow. The ladies from Norfolk arrive tomorrow. On the 15th, the ladies from Plymouth will come. And on the 22nd, we'll have the ladies from Essex. Conversely, we have about 180, 185 ICE detainees that will go to other facilities.
So this move has not been without controversy. Who is upset with you and why? For doing this?
Who isn't upset with me? No.
So that's interesting.
You know, it's a catch-22. You know, as I mentioned earlier, when we were working with ICE, people were protesting and mad that we were working with ICE. Okay, I understand that. And now that we want to reprioritize our resources, people are not happy about that for a very valid reason. And that reason is because they will probably have to travel further to see their friends and families.
So ICE's claim that that's one of the implications of this is a credible claim.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So we have three other facilities in the Commonwealth, Bristol, Plymouth, and Hamden County out in Springfield. I will assume that some of these ladies or some of these folks may go to New York. They may go to the facility in Rhode Island.
So for critics who may say you're not supporting the federal government in detaining high-level offenders, which is what the detention of the ICE detainees, I use the same word like seven times in one sentence, mm-hmm. but you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. What is your response to that?
My response is I was hired by the citizens of Suffolk County to work on their behalf. And so I'm working on the behalf of citizens of Suffolk County and the Commonwealth. It's not that I don't want to work with our federal partners. In fact, we do a whole host of things with our federal partners, state and local partners. But in this instance, when the country and the Commonwealth and my county, frankly, have a lot of people suffering from mental health and substance abuse, and I can do something about it, I choose to do that, you know, and people are going to be unhappy with me. And I totally get it. At the end of the day, a lot of these women have kids at home. Okay. And do you want to send someone back home that is still challenged? Now, are we going to cure all of their ills and their problems? No. I get that, but the recidivism rate in the Commonwealth is 46%. So we know on Friday, half the people that will leave us on Friday will be back in 3 to 6 months. So why not interrupt that cycle of recidivism? Why not offer the care, which is a part of my mandate, to help them, and then team them up with social service agencies when they get out? And so it's do you want to help the federal government or do you want to help the local government, you know, and the local citizens? And in this case, I choose to work with the local individuals. We've been working with ICE since 2003. That's a good long time, you know. And so I just want to try something different.
The Boston Herald described your move as, quote, the latest clash between Massachusetts liberal pals and ICE, end quote. You know, we know Suffolk County DA Rachel Rollins has spoken out against ICE repeatedly. She's even sued them. Did your politics play into this decision? What do you think of that argument?
My politics didn't play into this because I have no jurisdiction over ICE. I have no jurisdiction over the president. I have no jurisdiction over the federal government. I find it interesting and fascinating that people just do not want to believe that my department really wants to help people. I mean, come
on. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's hard for people to believe that Sheriff Steve Tompkins wants to be of service to people?
Well, because, first of all, we're in a politically very intense environment these days on one side of the coin. And on the other side of the coin, I don't know, frankly. I wish I had an answer for you, but I will say this. I grew up in a household in Harlem. My mother suffered from alcohol abuse for quite some time. I have two female cousins, one who is now since deceased, that lived in the household with a pretty severe batterer. I'm old enough to remember the heroin epidemic in New York City. And so I know what drugs and alcohol and depression looks like, you see. And if I can do something to interrupt that, I'm going to. Whether people want to say, oh, you're just doing it because it's a political thing, well, that's on them. I can't change people's minds. I can try, but what I'd rather do is change the situation of those that have been overlooked and not seen very much, underserved and overseen. That's what I can do. That's what I'm going to do.
It has really been a mark of your tenure as sheriff that you have focused on issues of addiction, homelessness, mental health. I feel like you just laid out a blueprint from your own life as to why you're so passionate about those issues. Is that where it comes from?
It is, absolutely. I've lived it. You know, I lived it. And so at some point, I really, you know that adage, we are our brothers and sisters keepers. I believe that. I believe it. And so I want to try to do something about that. There's that adage about the American dream, that ideal that says all citizens should have the opportunity to achieve success and prosperity through hard work and determination. Well, the American dream has bypassed the vast majority of people that are in my facility. Okay. 65% of my inmate population is black or brown or poor. You see,
will that be true of the women that come in as well? Do you know roughly?
I don't know. To tell you the God's honest truth, I don't know. But I know what I have right now. And so I want to work with this population. I think that that's the rent that I pay to be on the planet, is to help.
So let's talk about a tricky dimension of that. As you well know, because you wrote an op-ed about this in August, the Boston police took an action in August that they have termed Operation Clean Sweep. Yeah. There are a lot of advocates who don't like that name for it, but I'm going to use it because it's what the police called it. You were supportive of the idea of the police targeting people who are selling drugs in the area. You also asked in your op-ed, quote, what do we do with those who are not dealers but victims? Mm-hmm. BOR did some research on the arrests afterward and discovered that really more than half of them were on previous warrants or on drug possession, not dealing. Knowing what we know now, are you in support of that police action and similar police actions?
So, yes, is the short answer, and I'll tell you why. For months, you drive to our facility on Braxton Street, you would drive past an open-air drug market. Now, I remember, as I say, the heroin epidemic in New York, but people used to find an alleyway or a hallway to shoot up. Today, They shoot up right outside in broad daylight. They fight in broad daylight. They defecate and fornicate in broad daylight.
Okay? And what is... This is going to sound like a naive question, but yeah. I think there's something underlying this. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between doing it in an alley and coming around the corner out onto the sidewalk where the sun is shining? Do you understand what I'm asking?
The only difference is that they don't care where they're doing it, and they don't care. Back in the day, although I don't think people wanted to be heroin addicts, but they also didn't want to have friends of their families or their mom see them shooting up outside. You know, and so they would find a place to do what they had to do to self-medicate. Nowadays, all bets are off. They will self-medicate wherever and whenever they want to. And it was really bad. And so when Mayor Walsh and the Boston Police and others came in to do Operation Clean Sweep, it was well past time. I'm sorry. It was just well past time to clean that up. I mean,
will that work?
It's, you know what? Knock on wood, it's worked thus far. You know,
How do you know?
It was because I'm there every day. You know, and so at least in my catchment area, I'm not speaking about the bigger part of the city, but this was a collective effort between our department, the city of Boston, state police, Boston Medical Center, the fire department, EMS. You know, we all came together to talk about this. I don't know if you know, but back in the summer, one of my officers got into an altercation.
Came out of his car on his way into work.
On his way into work, you know, and, you know... I demanded a meeting with all of the appropriate agencies. Everybody came. They chimed in, and we had a good conversation. And then Kate Walsh over at Boston Medical Center with Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley had a subsequent meeting. And so far, so good. You know, that area, Atkinson Street, Bradson Street, has been pretty cleaned up. Now, my understanding is these folks may have filtered out into other areas of the city. But in our catchment area right now, it's pretty clean.
You and D.A. Rollins, it seems, have been simpatico on a number of policy issues since she came in. She's expressed dismay twice on our air about that operation, some concern about it. So, one, I want to ask your reaction to that. And then, two, how do you manage this tension between empathy and compassionate response for addiction?
Well, law enforcement. Well, insofar as Rachel's whatever she had to say, I didn't hear it, so I can't really intelligently speak to that.
Fair enough.
So I don't know. The second part of your question, I'm sorry, is
so. Well, let me just say that she was concerned that after expressing solidarity and a sense of compassion, mm-hmm. that Clean Sweep then came along. It was assertive, aggressive, caught up a lot of people who were not selling and was disproportionate and perhaps tilted too much towards the law enforcement side rather than the services side. Now, I'm characterizing what she said. She might characterize it differently.
Right. Well, a lot of the people that were picked up also had warrants. And so, you know, they just hadn't been enforced. So they got scooped up there. Listen, you're going to have the yin and the yang. Some days things are going to be sweetness and light, and some days it's going to be gloom and doom. Now, I'm not trying to be cavalier or cute here, but you're not going to be able to please all the people all the time, and that action needed to be taken, you see. But let me just say this about what Rachel is saying, particularly her list of 15 offenses that she would not prosecute. And she and I have talked about this, so I'm not speaking out of school here. Some of those I don't agree with, frankly. But what I will
say— Can you give an example?
Resisting arrest.
Okay.
Breaking and entering and sleeping in someone's dwelling, even if that place is, abandoned. Muling of drugs. I'm sorry. You got to do something about that. You have to arrest them. But I get where she's coming from. But the thing I like about what she's doing is that it's got the conversation, the temperature of the conversation turned up mightily. And as I say, 65% of my population is black or brown. In a commonwealth with that same demographic is 18%. How do you get 65 out of 18%? You got a broken system. And something's got to be done about that. And so she's shining a light on that. And change is hard. And change is hard in public safety, in policing, in a quasi-militaristic environment like my department. But you know what? It's got to happen. We have to evolve, you know? And so people are going to say and try to effectuate some things that other people won't agree with. But at the end of the day, I'm hoping that we all find common ground and work on this collectively.
All right. That is Suffolk County Sheriff Stephen Tompkins. Thanks for being with us here at Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Stay with us. Coming up, WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks will join us from the campaign trail in South Carolina. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.